Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Some of you may remember the Cuban restaurant Mucho Gusto in the Fenway neighborhood in the late 90s and its head chef John Verlinden, also known as Chef Johnny. Mucho Gusto has long since closed, but its stories and recipes live on in Verlinden's new cookbook, To Cook is to Love. Verlinden says this is not your grandmother's cookbook, and in fact, it is inspired by his Cuban mother-in-law, who he refers to lovingly as Mami Aida. It's her story that knits together this collection of recipes, photos, Cuban stories, even Cuban music. John Verlinden is with us now. And John, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
So this is a wonderful book, and the subtitle is Nuevo Cuban, Lighter, Healthier Recipe. So I want to start there by asking, what is Nuevo Cuban cuisine exactly?
It is traditional recipes that have been made lighter and healthier by the substitution of healthier ingredients and by changing some of the cooking methods that are traditional in Latin food.
And you actually brought us some great examples spread out in front of us of Nuevo Cuban cuisine. John, start by describing these great beef empanadas.
Well, they have a traditional filling, which is picadillo, which is a savory beef with onions, green peppers, and garlic in a savory tomato sauce with raisins and green olives. So it has a nice sweet and savory feel. Why it's lighter is because I bake my empanadas rather than frying them.
I was going to say, you know, I've been snacking on them before we started to record. They're delicious. And I said to you, usually when I think empanada, I think kind of mini, delicious, but little kind of heavy bricks that settle in my stomach. These don't. They're nice and light.
Thank you very much.
Well, you write in your introduction that this book is equal parts conversation, cookbook, and memoir. And the memoir piece is centered on your mother-in-law, Mami Aida. So tell us about Mami Aida.
Well, Mami Aida is my mother-in-law. She's really the person responsible for my love affair with Latin food. I met my husband 29 years ago, and he took me home to meet his mom. And she made a fabulous Cuban meal for us. She's a fabulous cook. And I fell in love with the cuisine. And from that point forward, I was all about learning how to make this food myself. And Aida was a wonderful teacher.
And how did she come to Boston?
She came to the United States in 1954. Well, the reason why she ultimately came to Boston is that she was told that by a good friend of hers who had moved to Boston earlier that this was a place for her kids to get a good education. And that meant a lot to her because she knew that education would make the difference in their lives.
I see. So describe Aida's cooking. What was her philosophy and approach to food?
Well, it's embodied in the title of the book, To Cook is to Love, because that's what Mama Aida would always say. And that the secret ingredient in all of her recipes was love, and that it just tastes better, honey, when it's cooked with love. She was very committed to traditional methods, all about from scratch cooking. She was not a fan of processed food.
John, another element that your cookbook includes is a CD, a sort of how-to-cook CD that includes musical pairings, suggestions of Latin music to cook to. And one of the suggestions is the song Mi Tierra, or My Land, by Gloria Estefan. Here it is. So, John, why did you include this song?
My Land is so precious to Aida, as you will learn when you read the book. Many of the stories are from her time when she lived as a young woman growing up there. And then also the book concludes with her return to Cuba after some 40 years of separation from the island. But she is also very clear in the book that she is very proud to be an American and really feels that America really reached out and saved her family from a very difficult life in Cuba.
Mm. You write in the book about the first time your mother-in-law, Mami Aida, invited you into the kitchen to cook with her. And I want you to describe a little bit what that was like.
Oh, that was great because when I was enjoying my first meal, her and her mother, they were said, "Oh, look at the little American eat. He's really enjoying the food." And so they really welcomed me into the kitchen with open arms, and they really made Latin food accessible to me.
Right.
And in turn, I'm hoping to do that for other Americans.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the food because it's quite a spread in front of us. You've brought some wonderful fish, fritters. Tell us about these. Yes, again, delicious. I'm not going to subject our listeners to the sound of me chomping away, but I have been chomping on them. They're delicious.
Well, thank you. The reason why I selected the codfish fritters to bring in today is because it's a New England connection with the Caribbean. One of the things that I was curious about as I was researching the origin of ingredients in Latin food was, how did this North Atlantic fish become such an important part of Caribbean cuisine? It's not just in Cuba, but throughout the Caribbean. This is really a product that had its origin in the Triangle of Trade. Wow. As New England and Canadian fishermen would dry and salt cod, and then it became a source of cheap protein for slaves working in the sugar cane plantations in Cuba and other countries.
I see. Well, they're delicious. But you call them bacalaitos, right?
Right. Bacalaitos are little cod. It's a bacalao, which is a very important ingredient in a lot of different cuisines, including Italian and other Mediterranean cuisines.
Now, you make the point that you've sort of done this Nuevo Cuisine twist on traditional Latin cooking, and you admit that her cooking might not have been all of it the healthiest food, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I think is tragedy about Latin food, and why a lot of people might avoid it. It tends to be high in sodium and high in fat, because a lot of the items are fried. And so what we've tried to do is to introduce alternative ingredients, making use of low-fat dairy products, substituting yogurt for mayonnaise in dressings, and introducing more garden vegetables into the cuisine.
Mm. Well, speaking of that, introducing more vegetables, you've brought us some tropical vegetable chips. And maybe I will bite this because they'll make a nice crispy sound. Mmm. Really these, nice. So what am I eating?
So these are fried plantains. Plantains are my favorite because a plantain never goes bad. It's when it's green, it's like a potato, and as it ripens, it can turn into all the way into a dessert. Also with those are some yuca chips and some malanga chips.
So tell us about this wonderful dip that accompanies these tropical vegetable chips beautifully. What have you made for us?
It's a merger of cultures, because it's not certainly a traditional dip, but it's a pureed black bean dip, or a black bean hummus, as we like to refer to it as. Mm. My black beans are unique, the Nuevo Cuban black beans, because they're vegetarian. When they're pureed, they make a wonderful dip that accompanies it for vegetables or crackers, anything like that.
It's really tasty stuff. Let's get back to another musical pairing. This is El Maniciera, which means the peanut vendor, performed by Don Espiazu and his Havana Casino Orchestra.
Calentico y rico está, ya no se puede pedir más.
Great old Cuban sound there. Why'd you include this?
Well, I think it's a song that's very familiar to Americans. It's been recorded by many, many artists all over the world, including a lot of American artists. It's just a nostalgic song of an era that's in the past.
John, I've got to ask you about how you sort of first imagined this book, because it really is a mega cookbook, recipes, family stories about your mother-in-law, photos, history, this CD. What was the original intention of this cookbook? Was it to sort of go in all these different directions at once?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because it started out as a really simple and really small idea. As we were selling our restaurant back in early 2000, I wanted to prepare some kind of little booklet for our loyal customers. I thought maybe a dozen or so recipes. And I thought it'd be nice to have a little story from Mama Aida about, you know, a childhood story. So when I started interviewing Aida, I learned about her life, and really she shared stories with me that even some stories that her children hadn't heard before. And and I heard those stories, and I realized what a remarkable things, extraordinary things this ordinary woman had done in making a life for her family and her extended family here in the United States. I really wanted to share her story with others, and that was the beginning of how that tiny booklet turned into the giant cookbook that you have in front of you today.
Well, it's a wonderful book. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing it and sharing this great spread of food. Lucky us.
Oh, I'm delighted. I love your show, and I was delighted to have an opportunity to appear on it, and I hope your guests enjoy it.
Thanks, John. That's John Verlinden. He's a Boston-based chef and author of To Cook Is to Love, Nuevo Cuban Lighter, Healthier Recipes. And you can find more information, including some of those lighter, healthier recipes from To Cook Is to Love at our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.